I'm an addict. My name is Rich.
Rich.
The way they told me in Baltimore was just to be ready. Just be ready. You got to condition yourself in order to be ready for God to use you. And I was minding my business. And God saw fit to choose a member of this convention committee to pick me out of a crowd of thousands of addicts and say, it's your time. And that's some of the action necessary to develop your spirit. You have to be willing to get up in front of a group of people that you don't know, but you know because they're an addict like you, which means they suffer from the same doubts, fears, insecurities as you. But you have to be willing to get up at this podium and strip. Sometimes you gotta be the NA crash dummy. Yeah, I don't see the self-centered aspect of it has me looking at what I am going to gain and what I'm not going to gain and all those fears, rather than the fact that God is going to use me sometimes just in order for another member to see that they can stay clean and get through. But I'm so caught up in my self-centered fear and what I'm going to gain or lose from the situation, I can't even see the blessing of the gift of being used as a vessel. I haven't done this in a while. I haven't done this since last November. The part of the spirituality, the action that was required for me to develop my spirit was to just stay away from any type of speaking commitments for a while. See, because you could become real sick with ego from coming to this podium. And I see other members, not to judge, but to be able to identify with the fact that some things that I see in other members, the message is that I don't want to be like that. Regardless of how powerful the message, I can look at and sound any way that I want you to have me look at and sound. But the problem is that when I get home, I want to unzip my skin and run out and be anybody but who I am. Because I've shared up here for all the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? Out of ego, and I just want you to recognize me and see me. And the requirement that I needed to make in my life was to learn how to be the message that you carry, Rich. And that was to sit still and listen and allow God to guide me and to start to practice the principles in my life. I could share the shine off an apple. I mean, if you're an addict like me, we were trained to be good talkers. But to develop your spirit, you have to put those principles in action. And I had some uncomfortable things happen in my life that I had never was man enough to be able to do ever before, having found y'all, having found this God that I surrender to today, having found this program and these steps that I follow and incorporate in my life on a daily basis to the best of my ability. Because I can share a hell of a message from here, and as soon as I get there, my disease will jump on me, and I'll be a walking contradiction to everything that I just shared here. And I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the message that I carry. And the truth of the matter is that this program has taught me how to live at home. This program has taught me how to live on my job. This program has taught me how to raise my children. And for the first 5 years here or so, it was all about coming to the meeting. See, it's real easy to practice principles with people who practice them back with you. Mm-hmm. But what happens when you need to take your principled lifestyle out into the world and deal with relationships with people who have an unprincipled lifestyle? Requires a whole lot more discipline, obedience, surrender, open-mindedness, acceptance. We can start with a real simple one. My mother, in her mind, black people were the reason that I was a drug addict. See, if I just wouldn't go hang in the city with them black people and hang on the corner, I wouldn't talk the way I talk, I wouldn't dress the way I dress, and I wouldn't have got high and stole all her shit. that was easy for her. That wasn't my reality. What I needed to continue to do was just to love me, continue to practice these principles to the best of my ability, and walk the walk, and just keep my side of the street clean. I think in D.C. they say, stay in your lane. They say, stay in your lane, Rich. And everything else, it'll go down the way it's supposed to go down. It's taken me 6 years to develop a decent relationship with my mother. This topic ain't about my mother. This topic is about me applying principles in all areas of my life and the action of biting my tongue some days. Because, see, I got two biracial children. They're 4 and 6, and I have one all-white child. He's 13. My mother spoils the mess out of the white boy. But she really don't want nothing to do with it. It's gotten better. I ain't going to say she don't want nothing to do with it. But you could tell in the way that she interacts with him, it's kind of like a, you know how you get some of them one-handed hugs around here? You know what I mean? Them fake-ass hugs when don't nobody want to embrace you and love you and squeeze you. That's how she'll hug my one child. But the other one, she kind of gives him the one-arm pat on the back. And I see it, and it makes my blood boil. And the truth of the matter is, anger is just fear turned outwards. Because all I want her to do is love and embrace my children, because they're the best part of me. And all I can do is continue to believe that the same God that has me is the same God that has her. You know what I mean? Instead of, what I did was, because she goes to church. So I asked her, you know, this is the arrogant, self-righteous me. This is the process of spirituality. You know what I mean? When you learn your walk around here. I used to ask her, does she talk to her church people about that? You know what I mean? I said, I think God loves all people. Don't you? You know, I've never been an arrogant bastard with my mother. And all that did was cause more chaos and controversy, because I really hadn't developed the type of language to be able to talk to my mother about my innermost thoughts, emotions, and fears. About how, Mom, you're not going to have to raise these two children. I'm clean today. I got them. And I got him. You don't have to do the work no more that you used to have to do when I was unavailable. See, I have enough understanding and empathy to be able to go into where she's at in her mind frame. And then to be able to practice the principles necessary to be patient and tolerant with my mother. Sometimes you can spiritually outgrow people around here. That doesn't make you better than them. You know what I mean? You just have to love them right where they're at, not where I want them to be. Just because I did a little bit more work than certain individuals around here. Different rates of pain, different rates of recovery, different rates of willingness. Nobody's better, nobody's worse. I ain't God. That which means that the same thing that can happen to you or for you is the same thing that can happen to me. And the truth of the matter is, it's all about integrity. Because, see, I'm the only one that feels it. Now, that's not true. Some of my behaviors cause pain in other areas of my life. But I'm talking about the stuff that I do. And then I share real good from here. And I can interact with y'all on a social level because I've developed some social skills from working the steps and having a sponsor and showing up for H&I commitments and being able to help people. Makes me feel worthy. But then there's sometimes when my spirit's pushed around that I don't feel worthy. Having done all the work necessary, having acted out on their behavior, my disease is still powerful enough to find a way through the cracks to seep in and still tell me that same old lie. You ain't never gonna be shit. I'm trying to, like, just focus on what I need to do. You know what I mean? Because relationships with human beings are beautiful things. But if you got abandonment issues, talking about me, or you got, we all got fears and insecurities. But like at 16, the first love of my life cheated on me with my best friend, right? And I didn't know that I set out at that point on a path of destruction that no matter what woman I was with, I was going to get you before you got me. See, and the problem was that I ruined any ability to develop any type of integrity or trust with myself because I always cheated before you did. Not even knowing if you were going to cheat. See, because of the fear of being hurt, back with 16, I carried that 16-year-old boy all the way up to just a few years ago. I mean, I'm talking about having the information on how my history was robbing me of the ability to be free now in the present, and I still acted out on some behaviors just last year. But what I'm saying is that the fear of being hurt allowed me to harm other people just to think that I was protecting myself. And when you lie and you cheat, it's hard for you to believe that anybody else that you're interacting with is honest and loyal and faithful. So I was setting myself up for pain and self-destruction. And just because I know better doesn't mean that I can always do better. See, I should be able to hold myself accountable, but I have a disease. So just the only problem is that now that I know better, it's hard to go back to not knowing. You know what I mean? So the lie that I used to be able to tell myself at a younger, less mature level of spirituality, I could buy into that lie and I could put some shoes on it and I could put a newcomer on it or I could put some jewelry on it and it might suppress the feeling. But as you grow closer to God in this process, it's a whole lot harder to act out on those impulses. Because it's wild. I used to be able to, like, know the levels of the pain and just raise the tolerance to the level of the pain. You know what I mean? And now the deep part about the process is that you know better. You weigh your options. We're kind of getting into the 10th step now, the spiritual scorecard. You know what I'm saying? You can weigh it out, and then I might even show up for it, but I just can't follow through. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm starting to love myself just enough to where that I toe the line with self-destruction and I get up to it and I even interact with it and then it ain't worth it. You know what I mean? And that's deep to me because I never was able to hold up long enough to weigh out my options. I always had to act on impulse. Emotions always overran my intellect. And thank God this is not like that today. I've been misbehaving, right? I need to tell you how, like, you know what I mean? This is Ocean City. Have you ever been down the boardwalk in the summertime? They got all kinds of games and rides and stuff. Well, they got this one game. They call it whack-a-mole, right? It's all these little moles pop their heads out of the hole, right? But at all different times, real fast, one will pop up over here and you get this little hammer and you got to hit it down. Then one jumps up over here and you got to hit that down and you get rated on a score on how many times you hit it in the head, right? That's like my defects of character. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'll get one, I'll identify with the pain and how it's ruining my life, my ability to live free in the present. So I beat that one down. And as soon as I'm focusing all my energy on this one, something else will show up over here. And the problem is that I don't want to live like that today. You know what I mean? Like, it's not worth it because I know that I'm blocking my own blessings. I know I'm getting in the way of the work that God's trying to do for me, man. He's trying to show me something. And sometimes patience ain't nothing but long suffering. And if you like me, I don't really know what patience is supposed to feel like. And if you don't ever know what something feels like, you don't ever know when you're done. Seriously. So I'm thinking I'm being patient, but I'm kind of putting limits on how long I'm going to be patient, and then the disease will wave some type of shit in front of me, and I go for it again. Just a new setup move, you know what I mean? Like, so as soon as I bite on it, you know what I mean? I just realize what happened, and it's, check this out, I started a new job, right? It's not a new job, it's an old job that I left before because I was unhappy. See, that's deep. That's deep. I'm an electrician. I'm good at what I do. I can work anywhere. Recovery has given me the stand-up power to say, you know what? I deserve more than what you're offering me. I deserve more than what you're paying me. I deserve to be treated way better. You know what? Thank you for the opportunity to work here. I got to go. And if I'm working a hell of a program, I'll give them 2 weeks. Well, what happened was I went to a new company with very stable benefits, lots of work all over the place. They don't work outside 20 miles of the city, so we ain't doing no whole bunch of traveling. I went there and I worked there for a year. After about a year, the old company called me. They told me, look, we got a $9 million contract over the next couple years. We need you to come pick up your truck, your cell phone. We're going to give you this amount salary. We're going to give you bonuses once you get yourself together and you start banging these sites out for us, and you can bring your own helpers. See, that was the good part about it before. I was allowed to insulate myself and surround myself with other recovering addicts because they could tell me I could hire whoever I wanted. So I was able to come back to the meetings and get some of y'all and get y'all jobs as helpers and help to build your self-esteem, and that made me feel good. Because I like working with y'all, most of y'all. You know what I mean? But I forgot about how easy it was to steal at this job. And we ain't talking about hours now because I'm on a salary. I'm talking about when you got to order wire. Right, I don't know which dope fiends of y'all used to scrap copper or aluminum or any of that shit. But copper is at an all-time high right now. See, and I'm a trusted servant of not only Narcotics Anonymous, but my job. So what happened is that after we've run the pipes in the ground and we cover them back up, we put a string through the pipe that tells you how long it is so that you know exactly how much to order for your copper to feed your service, right? Well, I've been adding 20 and 30 feet to each one of them pools. So we're talking about premeditated stealing now. It ain't like we just ordered a couple extra feet just in case something was wrong with the string, or you know what I mean? Shit, I ordered 3 legs of copper the other day, and it was $1,500. We only needed half of that. You know what I mean? And doing it, and the rush of the stealing, and to get away with it, and then after it's all over and done with, and I got the money in my pocket, and the whole scheme done played out exactly how, see, it never played out the way I thought it would before. So now I'm getting the euphoria of the power, and the control is seeping in, and now we're going to order more tomorrow. See, we're getting into the obedience and the stand-up power and the discipline necessary to maintain your spiritual conditioning now. See, I done left a crack in for the disease to invite itself in. I didn't realize how that when I start practicing the behaviors that it manifests in all areas of my life. Started feeling shitty for no reason. I always wake up feeling good. I wake up feeling good most days. I don't get sick that much. You know what I mean? I eat well, I exercise, and for some reason, because of my behaviors, with clean time and knowing better, the money ain't able to buy off. See, I don't know about you, but does anybody in this room have enough money in their pocket to buy peace of mind? Exactly how much is that going for nowadays anyway? You understand what I'm saying? There's no amount of money that can buy serenity. There's no amount of money that can buy self-acceptance. There's no amount of money that can buy self-esteem. We can buy all that false, fake, and a starter kit self-esteem. You know what I'm talking about? You got to have the jewelry, the new shoes, the, you know what I mean, all that, your basic blue suit on. You know what I'm talking about? I left a loophole. Yeah, I ain't gonna make excuse like I left a loophole. We're gonna get real. I did exactly what I wanted to do. I knew, you know what I mean? We gonna talk about manning up, man. I did exactly what I wanted to do. Here's the next part. When I did that, the crazy part is, here we go. One leads to another. One is too many, and 1,000 is never enough. So I got a work truck, right? They give me $60 every morning, maybe 80, to fill the truck up with gas for the day's agenda. My requirement is bring back a receipt for the amount of money that they gave me. Well, we go to the gas station, Rich, and we give the lady all the $80 and say, give me a receipt for $80. But right around 30, 40, or 50, we stop the pump. Then we go back in and say it only took 50. She gives me the 30 in cash. I got the 80 for the receipt to return, and we eating big as shit that day. You understand what I'm saying? And that feeds right into the unworthiness, you know, the liar, the cheater, the manipulator, the, you know what I mean? Right back into that belief system that I've been trying for the whole 6.5 years that I've been here to work myself out of. You know, that false belief system, down with just one idea, I got myself back into feeling miserable about myself again. Like, I'll never get this thing. You know what I mean? I'm talking about some real stuff. Well, you could do a hell of a job, and then with a few acting out on a few character defects, you're back into feeling unworthy. So, of course, we do what we always do. Pray for the willingness to be different. God, please give me what I need to change. We ain't allowed to get cash no more in the morning for gas. Straight up. It happened just like that. We all got to meet at the gas station and use the credit card. He fills us all up, and we're on our way. That was like 2 days after the prayer. Now, he gave me that one. That was the gift. The one I'm going to have to work on is the being honest with anything else. See, I also can go into the supply house and buy any kind of tool I want. Not really I can't, but technically I can. You understand what I'm saying? And once you have two or three of every screwdriver they ever made and every kind of tool that ever came out, and some of them you've never used, and you're still standing at the counter with somebody else's money and credit card thinking about buying some more shit that you might not ever use. I got toolboxes full of stuff. Now, I don't know what the way that your disease and you personalize your disease and what you have to have. I don't know if it's tennis shoes or shirts or jewelry or dresses or CDs or DVDs or things that vibrate in your drawer. Or I don't know what, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what you have to have 100 of, but it's something about having all them tools. Because, I guess, you know what, basically, because if we're going to keep it real, because I already went through all the tennis shoes. I had a man come up from the fellowship and build me shelves around the bottom of my walk-in closet for all my tennis shoes. And my sponsor told me, after he saw it, because I didn't ask no help for the year or so that I was acquiring all this, all my feelings on a hanger and so forth, my sponsors looked in my closet and he said, "Boy, you need to pray to be a centipede." Because, I mean, I know that God wants the very best for me, but the very best that he wants for me doesn't come in tangible assets. You know what I mean? Because when you die, does any of that stuff go with you? You know what I mean? What I would like to go with is with the most beautiful spirit possible that I could take and present before my God. I mean, in all reality, where I've painted myself in this position, in this type of discipline, in this lifestyle, is what I want is to have a beautiful spirit. And I'm doing a lot of work to be able to get there. But it's always those little things, the tennis shoes. See, you can't just buy a pair of tennis shoes. You got to get a hat to match the shoes. But then after you get the hat, well, it might not go in that order. See, normally I get my shirt to go with my shoes. Then you got to find a fly-ass coat just to throw over it that you don't ever really wear, because that comes off as soon as you step into place. And you got the hat. And now they're wearing, I ain't doing it. That's how I know I've grown. I'm done with all that hip-hop, bebop bullshit. Oh, my goodness. You ready for this one? I went to the store on my birthday. My birthday was last week. I made a decision. I prayed about it. I want to look like a mature young man. You understand what I'm saying? You go in my closet, you see one pair of dress shoes. I know you're supposed to have one suit and one pair of dress shoes, right? That's all I had out of all those hundreds of pairs of tennis shoes, one pair of dress suit and one suit. And it wasn't even a fly ass suit. You would think that, you know what I mean? You know, because my mind, you know, I'm slicker than the average white boy, so I'm going to have some real dope shit. Wasn't even that fly. You know what I mean? My value system has changed through the building of my self-esteem and self-acceptance. So what I wanted to do was, I wanted to buy some casual wear, some button-down polo shirts and some little cute shorts and some sandals or some loafers, right? This was in my mind. It was going to go down smooth. Then when I got in the store, reality blew me away. I didn't know how to buy those type of clothes. I was in the store with my fiance, literally sweating, trying to embrace this new reality that I wanted for myself. And not only did I start sweating, then I started getting a little feisty with her because I was so uncomfortable about going through this process. And we ended up in USA Boutique or Changes or some shit back in front of the LRG and the Rockaware and all this. I didn't cop. You know what I mean? I didn't buy anything out of the hip hop store, but I had to like go there and get myself together. I don't know if I'm just talking about my experience, right? Like I had to go in there and be where the music was banging and it was colors and it was all kinds of fly shit. And I had to get honest. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm such an egomaniac and a control freak and a male chauvinist pig that I couldn't allow my girl to dress me. Like, as much as I know she loves me and believes me and wants the very best for me, my disease was louder than her voice. So on that one day, we spent a few hours at the mall, and we got out of there with two pairs of loafers. And that was the beginning of my process. You know what I mean? Today was her birthday, and I came from Baltimore. So I came straight down Route 50, and they have outlets as soon as you get ready to get to the 50-301 split. I ain't lying. It's so wild, man, how you can manipulate yourself into believing self-will is God's will. It's not funny. Because the hit was, I gave her $250 to say, let's go shop, and I know you want to get some stuff for summer. But that was just the gateway drug. You feel me? Like, that was smoking a joint to me getting my disease out the pawn shop for real. Because we're talking about the other lump that I had for me to go hard. I'm telling you, you be praying for some stuff in some areas and they snatch it back, but God, I have a way of making it, raising the stakes and having that shit even funnier. Everything in the outlets only went up to 2X. If I'm in 2X, I look like I got my son's shirt on. And I was doing good because I went to Eddie Bauer and I went to the spots where I was going to, you know, dress like a nice young man. Couldn't even do it. I wanted to. Then they had this pea coat. I'm talking about, this is big to me. You have no idea. I'm not only a recovering addict, I'm a recovering wigro. You know what I mean? Like, everything's about hip hop. It's about the whole fashion, the whole trend. And we're talking about a change in lifestyle now. And it's hard. But I know, I've had on suits before, I've had on ties, I've had on collared shirts, and I walk with my back up straight. You know, I walk proud when I have, it does something about when I'm dressed like a man, I feel like a man, I carry myself like a man, and I practice some different sets of principles. You know what I mean? And I like respecting myself. But I'm telling you, the whole lifestyle change, this has been hard. So I went there, and they had a nice black peacoat on the rack, and it was a 4X. It was a return from some special item. I put it on and got it in the mirror. It was too big. You know what I mean? And my girl was across shopping somewhere else, so me and the lady are talking, and she's telling me, it's too big, honey. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. This fits good. You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to pump myself up because I'm thinking this is God's will. This coat was here for me. This is the next item in your transformation process. You get the shoes one day, you get a coat one day, you get a sweater. You know what I mean? And my girl came across the street. That damn coat's too big. You know, a lot of times I want what I want when I want it, right? And I want the process to take place, not now, but right now. And obviously there's something that God is trying to teach me in this process. You know what I mean? Like, I remember the last process. God will remove everything from your life sometimes in order to get your attention and show you what he wants you to see. See, because there's some part of your old character that you're still holding on to, that you're getting something from, that he has to come in and break you down completely in order to build you back up the way that he wants you. And I don't forget that at all. So I'm a lot more careful with the things that I pray for and how I pray for it. Because I remember how he got my attention last time. I'm serious. And you know what? One of the big things about, see, this ain't really about what your lips are saying. This whole program, it's not about what your lips are saying, Rich. It's about what your feet are doing. You know what I mean? Can you be the message that you carry? Is there a lot of people that are watching you? See, I didn't realize that in my area and where I'm from, like, I'm a popular guy. I'm in denial about the fact that everywhere I go, a lot of people know me and like me. So now it's like I've been placed with a responsibility of having to, like, be something that maybe I'm not ready for that responsibility, but it ain't about what you're ready for, because I don't give myself enough credit to see that God is placing me in position to stand up and be something that I don't even believe some days that I could be. Do you understand that? That you don't even know that you're worthy until the storm is on you and you're forced to be the man that God knew that you could be, that he made you to be? But you always lied and told yourself, there's two reasons. I ain't want the responsibility. You know what I mean? Either you don't feel worthy of the responsibility or you're too lazy for the responsibility. And my sponsor told me that the good is the enemy of the best. Do y'all understand that? If you settle for mediocre, you never see your full potential. So the good is the enemy of the best. And you're never supposed to settle for being good. I'm a single parent. I have 3 children. I love my babies. I love them. But some days I want to strangle them. Is that real to y'all? Yeah. But I got N8 babies. You know what I mean? My 2 youngest ones, they're hilarious. You know what I mean? They're N8 babies. And the action necessary is that I have to deal with their mother in a way that I want to show my children how women are supposed to be treated. You know what I'm saying? I'm not responsible for being upset about what she's not doing. I need to be able to practice a program for both of us. She ain't an addict. That don't mean all her defects don't have character. She doesn't have a lot of money. She does the best that she can. I don't have a lot of money, but I got more than her. You know what I mean? And I live with my fiance, so we got 2 incomes. She has 1 house, 1 income. I give her money. I pay all my child support. You know what I'm saying? I'm responsible. I don't do that. And she still runs short. She needs gas money and this and that. And we're talking about a hell of a program now. I'm serious. Because here's the deep part. I communicate with my woman about where the money's going in our house. I say, my children's mother needs money. You feel like giving it to her? What's your spirit telling you to do? Do what you know what I mean? Follow your heart. So I give her the money. Next week she asks for some money. I genuinely do not have the money. She calls me all kinds of bitches, junkies, crackheads. Then the following week, I give her some more money. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't about her. It's about what my heart and my spirit is telling me to do. If she's struggling deep... My children have missed school on certain days because she didn't have gas money to get up and take them to school. So if I'm helping her, ultimately I'm helping my children. Now, my disease only wants me to get angry at her and tell her that she needs to stop living up to the expectations of others and live within her means and stop trying to live here and be ghetto fabulous and live somewhere more modest. And I ain't got nothing to do with me. What are you willing to do to be a part of the solution, Rich? See, we're talking about a lifelong process now. I laid down with that woman. I made two children. And now what, I want to chastise her and be self-righteous because I'm in a different place than she is? That's ridiculous. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, Rich, don't say nothing at all. The deep part is that I'm getting a whole lot easier with how I'm sharing my wealth and my things with her. You know what I'm saying? It used to come with a tongue lashing. You can't erase a spoken word. You know what I'm saying? I used to be judgmental. If she asked for it and I got it, I give it to her. The deep part is I pack my children's lunch. You understand what I'm saying? And I take everything to her for my children's lunch for the week. Rather than putting the money in her hands and wondering if it's actually going into my children's stomach, I've learned how to buy all their food for the week and take it over there a week at a time. So this is nothing that I can come to the meeting and y'all can see. This is what I've learned at the meeting, and I'm taking it home. And it's not what I'm doing when y'all are looking that matters. It's what I'm doing when nobody's looking that matters. And I'm not coming here bragging about it. I'm coming here and sharing the hope with y'all because this is a painful process. And I just need y'all to support me, believe in me, and encourage me, because any given day I could be a walking contradiction of what I just shared right now. So just for today, thanks for allowing me to share.
Our second speaker is Ulysses from New York.
I'm an addict. My name is Ulysses. Whoa. I'm here by God's grace and God's mercy and the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Man, I just want to thank y'all. I want to thank y'all for coming to be a part of my life. I was sitting there and I'm listening to him share and I'm thinking about like some of the things he was sharing and I'm identifying with, you know, and I'm so in touch with like that, how the disease, addiction will just keep you a baby. It's hard growing up when you think you're already grown. It's hard getting free when you think you're already free. The topic of spirituality requires action. I was pulled out the hallway too. You know, I really want to say this, because like he said, sometimes you get here and you behind this and then like, You know, you get a reputation and then like when people call and ask you to do the service and now you so big or you can't show up. Just tell them you can't show up. You know, I mean, she asked me to submit a tape. I don't submit tapes, so that's why you didn't get one. It's nothing personal. But I know like before coming to Narcotics Anonymous, man, I was, look, spirit, what? I mean, listen, I need to let you know, I'm an everyday addict that needs an everyday program. So when I share something that you think that ain't cool, that I'm not done, you know what I mean, like buy all them damn tennis shoes and stuff, I did that. But when you sitting on that side and you think and you start to judge them kind of characteristics, you have a yet in your program sometimes. Because I was sitting there and he was saying, oh, he built a closet for him. And I'm thinking, I messed around and moved. 91 pair of sneakers. None of them 6 months old. But I'm thinking I'm doing good. It's my money, I was telling myself. See, it's hard, like, it talks about it in our literature. Like, see, it's really hard getting free to be in a spiritual position when you constantly lying and manipulating to yourself and don't even know the truth. like I wasn't sitting in meetings and hearing and going to meetings and talking to my sponsor and doing some step work. Because it was talking about like what happened on the way was that it's okay. That like, see, he was saying I got my tool with me. But honestly with you, for the past 15 years, I carry this book bag everywhere I go. So I always got my basic text and stuff in it. It's not because I'm that smart. It's because I ain't that smart. For real. And it's not because I want to trick you up like I know some shit. Because I don't. Because I'm okay with being with me. And I'm okay with where God got me right here, right now. Because see, I got to a point in my life where I got so sick and tired of trying to please you when I just wanted to get you to please me. I got tired of that spot. You know, I was telling somebody earlier how when I was young, man, like, and then I came in the program with Narcotics Anonymous, me and my brother, we in the process too, right? So we sitting around, we sharing little childhood stories about our life. And I looked at my brother and I said, hey, man, did we grow up in the same house? His story, this is my brother. We party, look, we've been running around here for like partied almost 50 years together. And I asked him, he's sharing some stuff, and I'm like, did that happen? Because I'm wondering where the hell he growed up. So I understand when people look and see and can't identify some stuff and think that certain things happened that didn't really happen. But one thing we did decide we had an agreement on. We agreed that, like, when I look back, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and I look back at my life before coming here, while I was using, I need to let you know I use, that I couldn't see no good times. You know, because, like, they talk about, like, going back to the war stories, and you know, you look and you glorify your war stories, and you thought how good shit was. No good times. I'm the kind of addict that I use woo y'all. I'll explain later. I'm the kind of addict that used and thought about every freaking thing that I messed up. That means if I went to the bank and stole my own money, when I got high, I thought about the whole freaking thing right then and right there. It didn't hit me afterwards. It hit me during the fucking course of using. So I never got that moment of joy that I wanted to get. I didn't. I mean, I would sit there and the people that used with me, I was telling the sister the other day, the people that were used with me, I got to forget, I got to remember the breeze. I do. I was telling her, I said, I only got high with a small group of people. In the beginning and in the end. Small group. Didn't want to share too much. But I remember telling her, I said, these people would actually sit in my house and play chess, bid whiz, space, anything that I wanted. Because I was the kind of addict, I was active when I was using. Because like the drugs wasn't working, so I needed some distractions. My stereo up yonder. Loud. You couldn't get high with me, could you? Loud. Just loud. That's what woo y'all do to your ass. It allows you the ability to get paranoid and enjoy it. At the end, that's what it was. Just enjoying the paranoia. I'm talking about getting high and already geeking and ready to go before the drugs even kicked in. Already saying, like, I need to get to a state of mind where I'm going to go look out the window. Shit, that was only on that, and that was when I was smoking weed. People thought I was saying, like, sometimes, like, you know, we say, like, I really need to be here. Look, Narcotics Anonymous was prep. I was prepped for this program. I tell people, like, before coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I had a job in treatment. Yes, sir. I was assistant house manager, co-counselor. 1980, I was not using. I was going on 22 years old, had never picked a drug up a day in my life. I'm working in treatment, I'm going to meetings, I'm taking my clients to meetings every day. I'm listening to the stories, and I'm identifying with some of the behaviors, because I've seen a lot of the behaviors in me. Everything was about them. I had the behaviors that they was doing while they was getting high, I was doing, and I wasn't even getting high. So you can imagine when I started using it. I tell you, like sometimes we I want to share, like, the disease of addiction does not require a drug of a chemical nature. Because, like sometimes, like, I be saying, like, you know, I want to be spiritual every minute of the day. It's just something hard about pulling that off when you want to do what you want to do when you want to do it. And look, and the truth of the matter is, in the 11 steps, it actually got a paragraph. It talks about, like, hold on a minute. Let me find my glasses. I'm going to read it to you because he was sharing about it. Watch this. Is it like fixing shit after you not mess some shit up? That's what it basically saying. Watch this here. Cause I used to just want, like, I used to just want to, like I can do some stuff unspiritually, and I fix it later. Really, like some of you now probably pulled that shit off today. I ain't gonna talk about you, but I'm just low. I know if you anything like me, and you think you that damn smart, you done pulled this one off. It says, like, let me go ahead and share it then. I want my spirituality to be followed by some good action. I get up in the morning and I start my day off with my prayer. I surrender. Yes, I do. And I wholeheartedly surrender to it. I have good intentions when I leave out my house. And I think I got something in me because I've been around here almost, 15 years and some change. And I think I got some principles embedded in me that's going to keep me through today. I have something inside of me that cries for pleasure. Look, 100 fucking bags of M&M's will do me. I'm talking about, like, stepping out my house and look, I don't want to use. I mean, people, places, all things I don't want to use. It ain't just drugs. I mean, I got a disease. It satisfies with anything that will just make me look fucked up. You know what? Even one is too many, a thousand never know. In all areas of my life, one is too many, a thousand never know. Get it. Look, I'm talking about, like, I'm walking to my car. 6 months ago. Now, if you ain't noticed, my teeth is missing. You notice, huh? But my wife at the time, she said when I got my teeth, she said, why don't you just get some false teeth and put them in your mouth? Because I'm waiting to get some implants. That's some expensive shit, man. Insurance don't even cover that shit. I wanted to steal some of them all. Look, I'm talking about plotting and scheming on an idea. of how I can get some Medicaid or something where I can get some free implants. That, look, we're talking about like when you shit, like I say, like when things are not going the way you think they should go. Now, I got teeth to use. I don't want to wear them. I'm okay until my implants come. You might not be okay. Some girl said to me, I'm gonna get to the story. But she said to me, she said, cause like I would feel bad about shit when people said shit to me. I couldn't take criticism. I couldn't take that you just couldn't accept me for who I am. And she looked at me in my face and like I didn't know I had no teeth missing. And then she gonna point out to me that I had no teeth. Like how the fuck I get knocked and not know about it. And she pointed it out and she looked at me and she said, I didn't know you didn't have no teeth. And like he was saying, like when I first came into Narcotics Anonymous and when I was back using, look, hell, you might have got a lashing for that. I mean, like I don't hit one woman, but you get cussed out big time. That was an ass whooping coming now. My disease would have spent all day on you. But because like living in the here and now and living in this program, things have changed in my life. And like some days, you, look, on the wrong day, you might catch me there. So, that's what happened to my super at my building 6 months ago. I was coming out my house. And I live in an apartment. And my friend owned a house across the street. He don't live in the house. It's a big old house. He just owned the house, and I take care of the house. If he had some heat in it, I would move in it. And my super in my building, we got trees on my side of the street. On where I take care of the house, ain't got no trees at all. Beautiful, ain't nothing around it. You know, no leaves falling on the land and all that. I have to take care of. But my super in my building decided he gonna take his leaf blower and blow his leaves on my sidewalk that I have to clean up. I went to him like a man because that's what y'all taught me to do. I went to him. I said, "Look, sir, look. You know, the city requires that you pick your leaves up in a brown bag." He said, "Well, I don't got no, whatever." And I said, "Well, okay, I will help you because there's a park right across the street. I will help you blow. I got a leaf blower. I will help you blow these leaves down the street." That worked that first week. That worked. But this particular day, I'm coming out of my house. Now, spiritual presence was good on that day. I'm coming out of my house. And I'm getting ready to get in my car to go get my grill pulled. I'm already feeling shit about having to get my teeth pulled out my mouth. Because I'm tired of my dentist keep putting those crowns up in there and charging me for them. I paid enough for all the crowns to keep. He put them up, fall out. Shit, I could have bought the implants for all that money I spent. And I'm feeling kind of bad about like I'm getting ready to get my grill pulled. And I got to go get a prescription and then I got to go to my dentist. I walk out the house and there's that damn leaf blower. And I say, "Hey, what you doing?" Now his wife is out there with him. They people, they about this tall. He starts to say stuff. And me and him talking and we having a good conversation. Now me and him working with this. I'm spiritually fit right now because I'm asking him nice, "Please don't blow the leaves over there. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, when I get back, I'll help you." And out of the side, come this boss. "You fucking nigga, I seen you blow them leaves over here on Sunday." Now, the Sunday part I got, the couldn't identify with. Because I was willing to forgive her on the first time. And then it consistently happened. I went from a nigger to a spig to an eggplant to whatever. And by this time, I'm still, her husband is telling his wife, go ahead on, I got this. But she ain't buying into him. And so me and him still talking. So I look at him, and right, like we right here, I look him in the face. I said, look, man, you need to talk to your wife. He looks at me like, I'm telling her, shut up. I said, no, really, you need to talk to her. And I like, I'm getting ready to leave. She hollered out and called me something that it touched that part in me. Like when I was a child. Look, nigga don't bother me. The person that said it don't bother me. But the memory that I have as a child. I lived in the South all my life. I grew up, I hadn't even never been called a nigger. I had seen stuff done to other people, said to other people, but it was embedded in me. And for some reason, I had a flashback of the dogs attacking people, and I looked, I said, look, you need to tell that bitch to shut up. I'm talking about like, I was telling somebody today, because like, see, your spirit will conduce to the environment you in. Okay, right, watch this. When I came out the house, my spirit was good. When I was talking to this guy, we was in a good spiritual place. When the environment changed, so did I. When it became hostile, I became hostile. Look, I'm gonna share this to you. Look, it's just like when you go in the club and you clean, you know, you want to do your thing. Because, you know, I've been there. And you want your spirit, but you go in and you just want to dance. That was my story. Because I love dance. I wanted to be at the dance now. Shit, really? I said, I hope I go first. I'm going to leave and go to dance. Didn't I say that shit? My mind would tell me that, but I knew I was going to sit there because I got that much patience enough to sit there and listen. But that's what my mind had told me before when I said, look at that girl, asked me to do the speak up here in this time for the dance. But your spirit will induce to that environment. You might not want to drink, but you start acting like you do. It's a part in our literature talks about like when we come among other people, man, when they ain't look in the back part of the 11th step, when it talks about like when you come upon other people and they are not living the way you want them to, they're not living like the kind of people you want to be hanging with, but yet you still seduce yourself to them. And you bring yourself to that position and you be okay with it. And because you think you're grown and everything going okay in recovery for you. But you'll get around people and you'll start acting just like them just to get along with them. And then you want other people to look at you and think you spiritually fit. And then you walk around other people that is doing the right thing and you jacked up. And you'll change. I'm going to give you an analogy. I go to church back in the days. Yeah, really. I go to church back in the days. And it's amazing. Like, when I went to church, I would be in the church thing. And like, when I got to church, and people, everybody nice in the church, and things going good in the church. And it was just amazing. But, like, I would leave the church. I could be walking down the street, and I'd see one of my friends that didn't go to church and hung out on the corner. And how my whole, look, in the church I was talking, yes, sir, yes, no, ma'am, yes, sir, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden I get with Duke on the corner and that flip. And I couldn't understand why I had the flips all the time. And so that's why I said I'm an everyday addict and I need an everyday program. Because when I prior to coming to knock, I had the flips. Yes, sir. And I didn't know I had the flips. I thought I was okay with me. You know, I I'm talking about like, look, I'm talking about like the changes that I need to make in my life. When the disease pulled you into thinking that money, property, and prestige would make you better.
Come on, you.
Never know. And not being able to get that and grab that. Do you know a house given to a person that cannot maintain a spiritual place on a daily basis is like giving a dime piece to a crack addict that ain't got shit. Root break. Look, look, I heard keep you from coming to meetings. It ain't nothing wrong with the house, my sponsor said. Your spirit ain't connected. And then you get stuff and you get disconnected. I was sitting there talking about, look, man, I was making so much money 1 year and still at the same time. Ain't enough. Started my own company, stealing from my damn self. Look, I'm saying it's possible to steal your own shit. I realized where it came from. When I was using, I used to go to the bank and steal my own money. I had a lot of work to do when I came up in here. I had people like the corner thing and hustling to try to get drugs. I did not stop using drugs because I was running out. I was a middleman to the drug dealer. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of me. And knowing that there was a meeting only 3 blocks down the road even messed that up more. It's a damn shame when you got to walk right past a meeting knowing what's in there that can save your life. And you tell yourself, I tell myself, you know, they literally say tell yourself, I will tell myself I'm going to make it to that meeting. I need to go. My wife at the time, okay, I keep saying that at the time, right? She's still my wife, but she at the time. I'll get that in a minute if I got the time. My wife at the time would call me an alcoholic. Because that was my thing. Six malt liquor, 24-ounce cans. And I would say, no, I know I'm an addict. I'm an addict. Don't be calling me no damn alcoholic. Too limited of a term for me. I was going to be what I am. I'm going to get you to call me an addict. Because I knew I was an addict. I had been to the program. I had been to meetings using. Oh, yeah, because when I was working in treatment, I started using. And they asked me to resign. Could it be the drugs? Maybe, maybe not. They didn't tell me. They just said, look here, I know it was something. I was a weekend addict at that time. But I knew my behavior must have changed or something because they really liked me for the first 4 years. And hell, somebody this happened, somebody else too. Why was that? But anyway, your spirit is conducive to the environment. But to get to the where the guy, what happened was, I ended up getting in my car. Let me flip this real quick. I ended up getting in my car, right? After me and the guy had an argument. I started to walk away. What happened was I started to walk away after I called his wife, tell the bitch to shut up. I started to walk away. Now, this guy, I'm going to shut the picture up. Now, I want you to understand. I'm going to share about him, but I want you to watch my behavior. Because it ain't what he did. It's what I do. It ain't like, with like take some responsibility for what I do. It ain't like if you call me something, I got a responsibility to respond in the way that I need to respond. Not the way that you dictate. I let this person dictate to who I was going to become. And now I'm blaming them for what I did. I started to walk away and I feel something hit me in the back of the leg. I'm thinking it's an accident because I played with this people, kids. They got 3 sons. I go down and play with their kids. They, you know, they don't ignore them. So I'm playing with these little boys. I give them Christmas cards. I got a y'all taught me to be loving to people. I'm okay. And I'm thinking this guy got some integrity. I have put expectations where there was none. I turned to walk away and he hit me in the back of the leg. I'm thinking accident. I said, hey, Sammy. When I turned back around, It hit me in the chest. Now I'm loaded up with all these slang names. His wife done called me. Now you're assaulting me. And now I feel threatened. And all, if you know my story, as a child, all my daddy ever taught us was, you don't wear an ass whooping. I got 12 brothers. It's 12 boys, no girls. You could not come back to the house with an ass whooping. You better find a way to win. Yes, because one of them, look, he would put the gloves on us. You got beat up today. You get one of the big ones, put your ass out in the yard, you got another ass whooping. Then he'll whoop you. That's the kind of thing. So I had that kind of mentality. And when that, I was all the way back there. So I knocked the blow out of his. And so he did one of those moves that if you're from down south, when somebody do it, you know it's time to really hurt them before they hurt you. He reached in his pocket like he had a knife. Now, I am a licensed gun carrier. Now, my gun is in my car. I don't bring it to meetings. Because the way some of y'all be acting out, shit, and fighting each other. I listen to when they sharing, look, you got a weapon, take it outside or whatever, discard it, whatever. Because I tell you what, you fucking around and hurt the wrong one, you might get shot. But I remember breaking for my car because I was getting ready to leave and I hit the click button. Click, click. My car door's open. My car right across the street. I start to run for my car. I ain't gonna see the knife, but the idea, he got one. He was telling one of the neighbors he didn't have one. He likely got shot for real with his damn fingers in his pocket. I get to my car. My neighbor come out. The two of my neighbors stand there. When I come up out of my car, because I'm getting ready to hurt somebody. I done lost my monkey, man. It's mine. It's all right. I'm talking about when my spirit have been conduced to my environment, and the only actions that I know how to take is those that is ingrained in me more than these spiritual principles. Come on now. We're talking about like doing some work to get some change, but you walk around and you faking it and you thinking you really making it, but then like you can't even pull off the simple. Saying that somebody say, I like your fucking clothes. Yeah, have somebody walk up to you and say, I like your shirt. And you start like, and you got to get up and like, you start like, you don't know how to just say thank you. You got to go, well, I got this at JCPenney's and I bought this at Marshall's and I got this at, you got to give them this big ass story about where you got this shit from. And all they were saying, I like your stuff. I like the way you got your hair. I like that. And you can't even take it. And at that moment, I was in that place. I couldn't take it. I get to my car, and one of my neighbors, when I came out the car, happened to be standing there, and he grabbed me, and he said, hey, Ulysses, what's this, man? He looking at me. He said, what's this? Now, I've been living in this building for almost 7 years. I've been knowing this guy. He lived next door to me. He said, what's this? I ain't never seen this guy. He said, you don't want to go to jail. You know, sometimes, like, we always try to choose people who God's going to use to give us a message. Now, not just the guy that stopped me in the car that day to keep me from hurting this guy. The guy that actually had reached in his pocket. The woman that actually had said what she said to me had brought a message. The message on that particular day was that I need to work harder at maintaining the relationship with the God of my understanding enough to live like he would want me to live. I end up getting in my car. I've been going to court behind this. I mean, I hadn't even been to jail using. I go to jail on a lie. And look, I got a restraining order on me. And I got to walk past this person every day. And every day, that's what I talk about. I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my contact with God. Because only God knows if they'd have let me out of jail any sooner than they did, this person still would have been in trouble. I was asking God when I was in jail. I was praying he'd get me out. I knew I had money to get me out. But there was some reason. It was just holding me until I came to my senses. I got out exactly and then enough time to have come down. And I went home. And they told me what I needed to do. And I needed to go down to the courthouse. And I needed to file counter charges and all this here. They're only to get there and they tell me I can't do it. Because now they call it retaliation. I got bruises and shit on me, but I'm retaliating. And now anger kicks back up. I got to go back in the house. Now I'm talking about like how to pull off spiritual principles. I got to walk by this guy every day. And every morning I get up and I get up with that prayer. And I make a conscious effort. The actions that I take. Not to go down and see him standing in that hallway and just cracking me. Oh no. Especially when my wife walk. Like me and my wife, we kind of like live beside each other. Too long a damn story. And my wife comes and tells me that his wife looked at her in a way like, you know, snob. And I want to crack her too. But then I call another recovering addict. I talk to my sponsor. I do the action work that requires to keep me from going to jail for any longer stint time than necessary. I'm not the kind of addict. I don't love pain. I really don't. And physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I don't like it any kind of way. But I keep setting myself up sometimes because, like, I'm going to end with this here. You know how we come to meetings and it talks about we like this here, the spiritual principles and the action to carry things out. It's the power to carry out God's will. Now, if I'd have been willing to hold in, because it tells me that there's some things that I'm going to need. And I want to read this in this here. It says, the power to carry that out. In addition to praying for the knowledge of God's will, I did that that morning when I surrendered. In addition to praying for the knowledge of God's will for us, we also ask for the power to carry that out. I failed at that. In this context, power does not refer only to the forceful qualities. There are many different qualities we may need to carry out our higher power's will. Now, if you ain't been practicing no principles and got them embedded in you, this shit gonna be really hard to do. If you ain't working no steps, you ain't got no sponsors, you ain't coming to meetings on a regular basis, shit, this ain't gonna make no sense. We gonna need some qualities like some humility, a sense of compassion. I could have used both of those. Really, I could have used both of them big time, couldn't I? I could have humbled myself and kept it moving. You know that topic, keep it moving. I should have kept it damn moving. A sense of compassion, some honesty, some integrity would have worked pretty good too. Or an ability to, look, this is what I use for an excuse. I'm going to end with this. An ability to persevere, and the patience to wait for result over a long period of time. I'm not mad because I went to jail clean. Hell, I ain't go using. But what I want to leave with y'all is my sponsor's favorite saying is that the disease of addiction took me farther than I was willing to go, kept me longer than I was willing to stay, and cost me more than I was willing to pay. Every day that I get up, I try my best to be the kind of person that I think my God would want me to be. Because I know if I try to live what I think you want me to be, I would just be the same old sick and suffering addict that I was before I got here. Thank you for allowing me to share.